The boogie monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone. We can finally once and for all find out what happened with Judas Priest. Whether they broke up by themselves or they were pushed out by outside forces like the government.
The Boogie Monster. Podcasting the unknown.
Oh, man.
You drinking?
I was gonna, and then I was like, nah, you know what? As you know, I was texting you last night, and I'm still fucking stoned.
You texted me last night at like midnight telling me that you were eating potato salad.
Because I had, whoever gave us all that weed food stuff from a long time ago.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. That was 2 or 3 years ago.
I think I had that shit in my old apartment. Yeah, I had that stuff in my old apartment. That brownie, I think. And I would eat a little bit of it. And there was just like a quarter of it left. And I was like, I'll just eat this thing. It's been in here forever. Man.
It knocked you down?
It was like fine for a couple hours. Like, you know, like 45 minutes for an edible. And I was like, I'm still kind of all right.
Yep.
Then Rachel went to bed, and I'm like, I'm going to watch a scary movie. And so I was texting you I was going to watch what's the one?
Vivarium?
Vivarium. Yeah, but then it was like $6. I was like, man, I'm not going to spend $6 to be fucked up right now.
But what'd you get into?
I watched Midsommar.
Okay, I haven't seen that yet.
Dude.
Is it good?
Dude.
I keep hearing mixed reviews. Some people think it's amazing. Some people say it sucks.
I don't know. It was 2.5 hours long. I don't know if that was director's cut or what. I was high off my ass, and there was parts where I was laughing at it, and I didn't know if I should be laughing at it, and other parts where I was like, what is happening right now? It is...
There's a bunch of Swedish people dancing around the field.
I don't have a review for it yet, but man,
okay,
2.5 hours of being higher than I've been in a long time. Uh-huh. That movie was something. Visually very impressive as a movie, and then all of a sudden, it'll take a turn, and you're like, "What is why?"
Okay. Well, I'll have to give that one a shot.
Hell of a ride. I don't know if that's thumbs up or thumbs down, but I'll say hell of a ride.
That's your Dave. Review. Hell of a ride, Kyle Kinane.
Yeah, because I was like, don't look at your phone. Just like, because you know, like every time you watch a movie, you still got your phone dicking around. I'm like, no, let's watch a movie. You don't have anything else going on. Mm-hmm. I've taken a break from my phone a lot during the day because, like, oh yeah, there's no like business emails are coming in or anything.
Yeah.
Anyway, scared me real good. Try to listen to some hypnagogic music to go to bed, which is the music that's supposed to help with lucid dreaming. Too creepy.
Really?
Way too creepy. Hypnagogic.
Okay.
And that's where, like, I believe from what that was the thing we could look into later about controlling your dreams. It's supposed to help with lucid dreaming or something. I read one thing about it, decided to try some playlist, and it was too much, too creepy, weird music that matched the movie I just watched.
Okay.
And then there was a mudslide somewhere nearby, so all of a sudden all these helicopters and sirens were outside, and I woke up in the middle of the night. I tried to take a leak. I couldn't even stand up. I was so high. I kept falling into the cabinets. I'm like, I'm going to fucking pass out.
Dude. You got to be careful with those edibles, man.
It was the size of a die, the piece of brownie that I ate.
The size of really? That small?
Yeah. Maybe a little bit larger than a die. And it was just old. It was old as shit. Like turned into powder in my mouth. Anyway. Oh, man.
Good for you, buddy.
Hell of a Sunday night. How you doing over there?
I'm good, man. I got some bourbon here. I'm just relaxing.
Yeah.
Just made beef stroganoff for the first time. That was exciting. And, yeah, man, just pretty eventful day. Just in the kitchen for a couple hours, mixing up that stroganoff. You ever make beef stroganoff back in your meat-eating days?
I never made. I didn't make anything. You know that old joke, though. What do you call a cow masturbating?
Never heard that one.
Never heard that one? Good. Beef stroganoff.
No, that's pretty good. Yeah, it was fun. It's Katie's favorite dish, and I've never made it. And I said,
noodles, right?
Kind of. Yeah, well, it's you got the egg noodles, and then you got you saute up some beef.
It's like Nordic lasagna.
Yeah, like Nordic pasta. Yeah, it's you make like a sauce out of the beef drippings and mm-hmm. little flour, some garlic and onions and mushrooms and little beef stock, little red wine. It was good.
It's like a heavy stew.
Yeah, throw the beef strips back in there, let that all simmer together, and then pour it over some egg noodles. It was a good time.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, dog.
I enjoyed it.
I like that.
Well, cool, life. Man. Well, I thought we'd do something different today. We've done, for the patrons know, that we do a monthly Q&A episode, a bonus episode for patrons. By the way, patreon.com/boogiemonster, $4 a month. You get that Q&A, and you get Dave's Kitchen or Dave's Record Room or whatever the hell I feel like doing that month.
Even more wisdom from us.
Exactly. And we've done a couple of Q&As just for regular episodes. But this month, for the bonus, we had so many damn questions, and we released that episode last week. But we have so many unanswered questions, Kyle, that I thought we would dig back into that pile of questions and release them as a regular episode.
Also, I think some of the subjects of like government tampering with human life that we were leading into maybe not won't be the best quarantine fodder.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, it is.
It's a little too close to home right now.
Exactly. I've been struggling to come up with topics to discuss ever since all this went down just because, well, and I mentioned it a couple episodes ago, like all that kind of stuff is, martial law and Agenda 21 and all this government stuff. It's fun to talk about when it's not happening. But when you kind of got a toe in that water in real life, it's not so much fun to discuss. So kind of pump the brakes a little bit on that stuff. We'll eventually get back to some traditional boogie monster stuff. We'll get into some ghouls and goblins soon enough. But I thought this week we'd just answer some questions and bullshit a little bit for a change.
Bullshitting, baby.
Yeah.
I'm bullshit with the best of them.
Well, let's pick up where we left off on the bonus episode. I was kind of going in order. I skipped over a few here and there. I'll try to get back to some. But, you ready to get into it?
I'm ready to do it, unless anything thrilling's happened with your night watchman duties over there in Long Beach.
Let me think. No, there was, we had, what are those fucking motorbikes? The ones that are like, it looks like a bicycle, but it got a little outboard motor on it.
Oh, mopeds?
What do you call those things? Is it a moped? There's some bastard driving around the other night at like 1 a.m. just up and down the street, just up and down the block. And it was one of the loudest damn motors I've ever heard. It was louder than a Harley Davidson.
Yeah, mopeds are people who figured out how to put little gas engines on bicycles. And it's like a novel idea, but obnoxious. Like either pedal a bike or get a scooter or a motorcycle. But that halfway point, it's a bicycle, but it's just noisy and it doesn't go real fast. Like, get the fuck out of there with those things. I
had to go out and give him. I gave him some dirty looks. I gave him some dirty looks, and he stopped. But 1 a.m, just
I mean, nobody so knows annoying. What the rules are anymore. Everybody's fucked up. Nobody's got regular hours.
Yeah, not on my block though, man. I'm still maintaining law and order over here.
Okay, well, I was up till 5:30 the other night. I had the first week. I was really doing all right. Now it's all coming apart.
Yeah, dude, I'm staying up. I go to bed at like 4 every morning now. I just. My schedule's all screwed up now. Just staying up late.
Well, watch Midsummer while off. You're up. Really make you scared to go to bed.
Yeah. That one's been on my queue for a while. I think it's free on Prime.
And maybe we're just reviewing scary movies now. I'm sorry I didn't watch the one that you wanted me to watch. Like $6.
Oh, dude. Yeah, no, I get it. It's a rental. It's not streaming anywhere. You got to rent it. But
we burned ourselves. We were just bored. Yeah, we rented Uncut Gems the other night. That's a movie.
What'd you think?
If your method of creating tension is to just have people talk over each other, good job.
Yeah, it's pretty hectic. But I watched it twice. I went back and watched it again the next day just to see if I missed anything. And I enjoyed it, even though it was nerve-wracking. I think obviously that's kind of the point. Yeah. I felt like the ending, no spoilers, but I just felt like the ending was a little
kind of cheap.
Like, oh, that's how it ends? Like, it just felt like a first draft ending.
I thought the ending was kind of cheap. I also thought, yeah, that technique of like, it was like New York City itself. Everybody's problems mm-hmm. were created by themselves and could be remedied if everybody just calmed down a little.
Yeah.
It's just two people talk. Nobody listens. If any character in that movie listened to the other character speak for 30 seconds, there would be no point for that movie. If any character in that whole movie understood how to have a conversation, everything would be resolved.
Kind of the same theory with Seinfeld, looking back now. If any of those characters had cell phones, 90% of the storylines would have been resolved immediately.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, for comedic purpose, this is like real drama. I'm like, nobody just like, oh, here's three people that don't know each other in a room. They better all yell in each other's faces and create problems that don't need to be created. None of the problems in that movie needed to be created at all.
Yeah, that's true.
That was my thing with that movie. Like, none of these are real problems. If anybody was close to a real human being, this wouldn't be. It was almost like a fable.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that was my review of that. Like I said, Encino Man. I don't know, it's getting unbelievable. 90 Day Fiance. I don't know if you watched the new ones of that.
Encino Man. You watched Encino Man again?
No, I didn't watch it again, but I watched it. I told you I'd watch that. These are the movies I'm settling into.
Oh, no. I don't think we had talked about that. Oh, so you had never, you'd never seen Encino
no,
Man?
No, I saw Encino Man, but I rented it.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm like, I haven't seen Encino Man. I want to watch Encino Man. I watched it. Doesn't hold up real well.
It does not hold up?
No. It's, you know what you have to look back is, remember there was a point in the 90s where Pauly Shore was the draw.
Ugh. Ugh. There's comedy clubs now where he's still a draw.
Well, I'm not knocking the guy personally.
Well, I will.
But at some point in the 90s, he was like, oh, shit. New Pauly Shore movies.
Yeah. It's a pretty low bar.
And it worked for me. Because it worked for three of them. I think I saw Pauly Shore from his sketches on MTV, I liked. You know, there's a lot of secret, funny stuff. When he was just the weasel on MTV, I'm like, this guy's crazy. And they're like, oh, he's that in every movie. He's the weasel.
Yeah.
That's a hard character to follow throughout franchises.
I told you I've heard from more than one comedian that he sells merch at the end of his show. I don't know if he's still doing it, but had more than one comedian tell me that he sells merch at the end of his show that is wardrobe from his movies. That's what he's selling them as. Like, oh, this is a shirt I wore in whatever movie. However, he got them at the Goodwill the day of the show. he goes to thrift stores, buys old cheesy clothes, and then sells them as if they're a wardrobe from his movies. That's a classy move.
I mean, do you blame him or do you blame the people buying them?
Well, exactly. Both, yeah.
Oh, Pauly. Anyway, that's not going to watch Son-in-Law, I'll tell you that.
I never saw that one. I saw Encino Man. What else do you have?
Encino Man was fun.
The Army?
For Dom DeLuise's kid who's in it.
Uh-huh.
He's a fun bully.
I didn't know that was Dom DeLuise's kid.
Yeah, the super handsome bully, Dom DeLuise's kid.
I used to always get Dom DeLuise and Paul Prudhomme mixed up. Paul Prudhomme, the Cajun chef.
That is an understandable confusion to have.
Yeah, they looked very similar.
Big fella in a funny hat that's always smiling?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Before we get into that, you got me talking about movies now. I rewatched Death Proof, Quentin Tarantino's Death Proof. Have you seen that?
Is that the one with the car? Yes,
that's the car movie. The first 45 minutes of that movie is the worst goddamn movie I've ever seen in my life. It's just absolutely horrendous, pointless dialogue. It's just a group of gals hanging at a bar and blah, blah, blah. Like, just absolutely pointless. Like, talk about word vomit.
Yeah.
like it was hard to stomach to watch it. Now, after the first 45 minutes, the action kicks in, and I'm all about that. And you know, it's fun. You know, they're hanging off of the roof of the cars, and Kurt Russell's trying to smash into people. It's exciting. But boy, that first 45 minutes, if you go back and watch it, absolutely excruciating.
Wasn't it like an homage to 60s movies or something?
Yeah, those 70s car movies, like White Lightning and Dirty Mary, Crazy Larry. And there's a handful of those car movies from the late 60s, early 70s that I think obviously is an homage to.
Dirty Mary, Crazy Larry.
Something that I'm probably messing up, but there's something to that effect.
A great deal on TVs from those two.
But like the action is great. It's exciting. But those first 45 minutes, like I wanted to throw my TV out the window. And I don't dislike Tarantino. I'm a guess I would say I'm a Tarantino fan, but man, just pointless.
Little indulgent, huh?
The same reason I can't stand Kevin Smith's movies.
You know what I'm upset with myself is that Rachel, for some reason, was, you know that movie 43?
Mm-mm.
No,
I don't know that one.
It's confusing. It's got a bunch of A-list celebrities, and it's like a it's a Kentucky Fried movie, but the sketches are even just, they're just worse.
Okay.
Where it's just horrible sketches. Like the first sketch is, who's the gal from Titanic? What's her name?
Kate Winslet
and Hugh Jackman, and they're on a date, and Hugh Jackman has a pair of balls that just hang from his chin. And I'm upset with myself because I hate being like the fucking burnout guy. I've been eating a lot of weed that's been in my house because everybody's got free time. And so I had that, and I watched some of movie 43, and I was laughing, and I was angry with myself. I was upset with myself for laughing.
You were mad for laughing.
Yeah, very much so.
I get
very
that.
Much so. Like, I'm like, who am I as a comedian? Bunch of shit jokes, and I'm over here like, ah, oh, fuck me.
Yeah. Sometimes you got to allow yourself to laugh.
I was ashamed.
The low-hanging fruit.
I was ashamed. Want you to watch that. Well. That's what I want you to watch.
Okay. Movie 43.
That's a question. What's the thing that you're ashamed that you like so much?
Oh, okay.
True guilty pleasure. Even though I don't believe in the idea of guilty pleasures.
I watched it last week. I'll admit it's not a good movie, but it's like eye candy. I enjoy the remake, the Nicolas Cage, Angelina Jolie remake of Gone in 60 Seconds. It's a fun romp.
No, I got you.
Terrible dialogue.
Oh, it's
questionable
stupid.
Acting.
But you got Delroy Lindo and Timothy Oliphant as a team. That's good acting. That's good acting right there.
Mm-hmm.
You got the crew. It's a fun crew.
Yeah, Giovanni Ribisi.
He's always good in stuff.
You got James Caan's son. What's his name? Scott Caan? Little blonde-headed kid.
Is he in that?
Yeah, he's in that.
I was thinking of like the Fast and Furious, but no, he's in the Ocean's 11 movies.
And Angelina Jolie, she's so into cars that her water bottle is a replica of a gas can. She can't even drink out of a normal water bottle. She's such a gearhead.
I didn't even see that part.
She's such a gearhead that her water bottle's a gas can. Robert Duvall. Robert Duvall's in that damn movie. So, you know, he's great. But, him and Nicolas Cage sitting around listening to cassette tapes of different engines revving up, quizzing each other.
They all get amped up by listening to Lowrider. Hey, group of criminals.
Mm-hmm.
You want to listen to our theme song to get ready? You group of convicts? You all want to have a little dance party?
Oh, man.
Same way, if it's on, I'm watching. I wouldn't seek it out, but when it's on, I'm like, okay.
Well, now I got the local tie-in because all those chase scenes were here.
True,
in Long Beach.
Yeah, so they got to get them on the boat over in the harbor there.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So that still never gets old. Like, hey, I live there, or I know that place.
No, I love it.
Like the first couple of years that I first lived in L.A., all I did was go back and watch movies and figure out like where scenes were filmed. It's like, oh, okay, that's where that is, and that's where that is. And I even went back and Back to the Future, that first scene where he's playing the guitar in the garage, and then he's late for school.
Yeah, it's a Burger King over across from the Big Five in Burbank there.
Yeah.
Which then you make, it makes sense. It's like, oh, yeah, they were shooting right over in, at Universal Studios where the clock tower is.
Mm-hmm.
So they just would pick stuff that's nearby.
Yeah, why not? So that's always fun.
Maybe I'll watch those again.
Yeah. It's a fun movie. And, I mean, the cars just...
That's why.
I mean, that final scene with that 67 Shelby Mustang, I mean, just gorgeous. It's great to see some of those cars.
Oh, and they got that Bullet Tooth Tony guy. Guy's like an ex... soccer. He's like a real dirty soccer player in real life.
Oh yeah, Vinny Jones. Yeah. The guy was in. He was in those Guy Ritchie movies. Was he in Snatch and all that stuff? Yeah,
I guess he's a real son of a bitch soccer player. There's a picture of him like just grabbing some guy's dick while he's playing.
I could see that.
Well, should we answer some of these questions? Unless you have, do we have questions for each other, Dave? We interviewing each other anymore? No.
I feel like we know each other pretty well.
Yeah, we ain't got no secrets.
No secrets.
Mystery's gone, Dave.
Hold on just a second. Hey, Boo. Yeah? Can we stop that buzzing? Thank you. Yeah. Sorry, the dryer keeps buzzing. It's really annoying.
Oh, you got.
I'll let.
Yeah, but you got laundry in your apartment, right?
We got our own washer and dryer in the apartment.
That's good living.
Yeah, for the first time in years.
That's good living. That.
Yeah, very exciting. All right, let's get into it.
Let's do. Hey, let's do.
Let's start with a real doozy from Nicholas J. Nicholas asks, would you rather A, be unable to smell everyone else's farts, or B, have everyone else unable to smell yours? You maintain the ability to smell your own in both scenarios. that's a ridiculous but good question. All right, would you rather unable to smell anyone else's farts, or would you rather have everyone else unable to smell your own?
The first one. Absolutely.
Yeah, I go with A. I'd rather be unable to smell anyone else's fart. I don't give a shit if you smell my farts or not.
Yeah, I'm pretty polite about it. Yeah, it's not like.
Mm-hmm.
No, fuck that. I don't want to smell anybody's ass. Yeah.
Oh, easy man. Answer. Yeah, yeah. I'd like to not be able to smell anyone's farts.
Who wants to know?
That's always a bummer.
Of course, I want to smell. That's a gauge of your health.
Really?
I don't know, but it seemed you ever been like, you know, when there's something smell, like, I guess they smell bad, but then something smells like wrong. You're like, oh, I gotta take care of myself a little bit. I'm getting there right now.
Oh God. All right. Moving along. That's a good question there, Nicholas. Thank you. Jordan Sumner asks, fuck, marry, kill, Chupacabra, Lake Champlain Monster, or the Jersey Devil? He also says, Kyle, I saw you in Burlington. I burped in the middle of your joke, so that was cool. Who opened for you? I can't find his name anywhere. He was dope. Who opened for you there in Burlington, Vermont?
Ari Fieldling was his name.
Okay.
Ari Fieldling or Ari Fieldling? I think Ari Fieldling. He was real funny. New York guy.
Right on. There you go.
Yeah, he was real, real funny.
Hey, everybody, faithful podcast listeners. My name is Kyle. I'm the host of Never Seen It. It is a podcast where I have comedians rewrite famous movies and TV shows they've never seen, and then we read those scripts in studio. So maybe someone's never seen Game of Thrones or someone's never seen Shawshank Redemption. They write a script of what they think that movie or TV show is, and we read it in studio. And then we play some fun games. My dad gets involved. It's a really good time. I think if you love movies, if you love TV shows, but maybe you're not caught up on everything that's ever been made in the entire history of the world, this podcast is for you. It's called Never Seen It. I think you're going to love it. You can find it on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you listen to podcasts. Check it out.
Fuck, marry, kill. Chupacabra, Lake Champlain Monster, or the Jersey Devil. Lake Champlain Monster, that's kind of like New York's version of the Loch Ness Monster.
It's Lake Champlain is right off Burlington.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's right there on the border of New York and Vermont. So
I think I'd marry Mothman, fuck Jersey Devil, and kill it.
Mothman's not an option in this scenario.
Which was?
Chupacabra.
Oh.
Chupacabra, Lake Champlain Monster, Jersey Devil.
Marry Chupacabra. Fuck Jersey Devil.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to get stuck. You don't want to get stuck in a relationship with a Jersey Devil. Because you have to live in Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
But probably fun in the sack.
Yeah. Rip your dick off.
Yeah. Chupacabra.
I'm fucking the Chupacabra.
Really?
I'm marrying the Lake. Yeah, because I think that'd be a wild ride. And I'll marry the Lake Champlain Monster because it just seems kind of docile. And,
yeah, what a boring life, you know?
Yeah, but, you know.
Never wants to go out.
And I'll kill the Jersey Devil. I don't need that guy.
No social life with that Champlain. Chupacabra is out at night going to the clubs. You know, they're out. They're out in the evening. They're out doing stuff.
Yeah.
Granted, you get to live on a lake if you marry the monster.
Yeah. Nice, peaceful lake life.
All right. Good points. Good points there.
Yeah. There you go, Jordan. What else we got? Jake Michael asked, Dave, what are your thoughts on Traeger grills for smoking meat? Kyle, you ever listen to Teenage Time Killers? I'll let you answer that one first.
No, of all the teenage bands named Teenage and then something. Teenage Time Kills, no, I like bands that start with the name Teenage, especially when they're all dudes in their 40s. I was in a Teenage Bottle Rocket. Those guys are all old as shit.
Yeah, I'm unfamiliar with Teenage Time Killers. And no, I don't have much thoughts on Traeger grills. I know they're very popular. I have not used one myself, Jake. I don't think those are the ones. I don't like the pellet smokers. I don't like the digital pellet smoker. You just throw in your wood pellets and you type in what temperature you want. That kind of defeats the purpose. I'm not saying that's what Traeger grills are. I don't really know what they are, although I know they're popular.
You want hands on. No, you want to be part of the process. You won't leave it up to the robots. Yeah.
No, not at all. But no, I haven't. I haven't messed with any smoking in a while. Ever since the cabin incident,
been a little gun shy.
I'm a little gun shy.
Have your smoker, or was it at the cabin?
It was lost. It was a casualty.
Oh, really?
So yeah, collateral damage. So
I don't think it's collateral if it's the very reason.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to talk about it. Moving on. Rob Roan asks, could we get a return to Dave's Australian loads of flavor Wendy's passenger? That was probably the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's been a while. That's back when I was driving Lyft, and I had like four or five Australian dudes, and I picked them up from the airport, and I was driving them to a hotel. And to recap, one of them goes, "Hey mate, you ever eat at Wendy's?" And I go, "Yeah, man, I love Wendy's." He goes, "We just had a Wendy's, loads of flavor." What else did he say? Loads of flavor, something burger, gigantic burger, loads of flavor, something like that. But yeah, loads of flavor. They were all very excited.
They got McDonald's.
About
they call
Wendy's.
Macca's. Go to Macca's.
Oh, really? They call them Macca's?
Or maybe it's England. They have a Burger King. They got pot. I told you about this. They got pot pies. That's their thing in Australia. That's their night food.
Like a chicken pot pie or beef pot pie?
Yeah, all kinds of pot pies. Huh.
Do you eat them with your hands?
They're little.
Or is it a spoon and fork?
They're hot as shit.
Okay.
I'd get two and then just have to hold them like Christ on the cross, just far away from my body, because if it dripped on my body, I'd have third degree burns.
Is it like a Jamaican beef patty kind of thing? Like it's more of a Hot Pocket type deal?
No, it's little pies.
Uh-huh.
But it's anything like different kind of vegetables, different savory things, curry chickens, like all different types of filling. And that's the late night. Ooh. Like how there's a taco truck, you go to Pie Face.
Uh-huh.
Open till 4 in the morning.
I got no problem
with
that.
And it's just like how you go, like when you go to get donuts and there's just the case with all the donuts in it. It's that, but little pot pies. I forgot I drank it and it was red and I sincerely thought I was throwing up blood because I was also drunk from Four Loko, which is a crazy kind of drunk.
Hmm. I don't think I've ever even had a Four Loko.
They're right to ban them. They were correct to ban.
Yeah. Just like alcoholic fruit
just
punch.
Just gnarly fruit malt liquor that got you fucked up.
Mm.
Fucked.
Yeah, my worst vomit when I was in high school, I remember this vividly. It was a terrible evening. When I was in high school, we used to go camping out on out in the middle of the woods. Some guy's uncle had a bunch of land up in Waleska, Georgia, and we'd all go out camping on like a Friday or Saturday night. And I think I've mentioned this before, but I didn't drink at all in high school. So like, there's about 15 or 20 of us that would go out and just raise hell. We'd pull all our trucks in a circle and somebody crank up the stereo and most people be drinking or smoking a little pot, whatever. And we'd always cook. Somebody would bring some steaks or something. And I was the only one that wasn't drinking. And somebody brought venison. Somebody brought like 10 pounds of ground venison. Somebody had shot and dressed a deer. Mm-hmm. And so we were cooking in the dark, very little camp light. Just, I don't know what the hell we were thinking, but I got a hold and it was ground and it was just like loose, like a loose meat sandwich, like a sloppy Joe without the slop. Oh. And, just ground loose venison on a shitty hamburger bun. And I gobbled down a couple of those and I was sleeping in the bed of somebody's truck. And, it was about 2 or 3 in the morning. I woke up and just painted the bed of that truck and
full food poisoning just
undercooked loose ground venison. And oh boy, it still haunts me to this day. That was one of the most gnarly vomits I've ever had.
This is I'm sure I know the answer to this question already, but is there anything you can't eat because like it made you sick at one point?
I don't know that I've had venison since then. I mean, it's been 20 years.
Like some
years,
people have gotten sick on oysters. So they can never have oysters again or something like that.
No, I don't think. I think I bounced back. I've had food poisoning a few times, but it's never kept me out of the game.
Man, I should have had food poisoning so much more. Like, you know that kind of thing where, like, my body should be rejecting a lot more things that I'm doing to it.
Yeah.
I told you about that cheese sandwich I made that was that Duke's mayo that's in there that is just got – it's very yellow and clear on the top.
Oh, no.
I just mix it in with the good stuff.
Yeah. Firm mayonnaise.
Yeah, I'm close to just doing whole shots of mustard water over here. Like, I don't know. I might live forever. Because of everything I've eaten.
You're resilient.
I won't live
man.
Forever, but I don't think food's going to take me out. I'll say that.
Nah, me neither.
Because, yeah.
Oh, boy.
I can't think of any direct. I think I can count food poisoning 2 or 3 times on my hand that I've had it. Which I think we've discussed. We don't have to do just fart and barf joke comments. We can get to other things.
Oh, okay. Well, it kind of related. Stormy asked, Dave and Kyle, what's one meal or food that you just cannot stand to eat anymore and why? Any food you used to eat that you've lost a taste for?
I wouldn't say that I hate to eat anything.
Mm-hmm.
I'll blow out. I'll have some of my favorites too much. Like I was getting pho all the time and it was like an easy on the road thing to go get.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like, all right, I'll kind of just taste the same. It's not like it's not gross. It's just not exciting anymore.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
You know, once in a while you're on the road enough and you start falling into the same stuff. Like, oh, I guess I'll get pizza because it's midnight and I got to eat something. You're not excited about it, but I don't hate that I'm eating it.
Mm-mm. Yeah. One thing I stray away from now. In my 20s, for whatever reason, I ate a ton of tuna fish. You should just eat it straight out of the can. Wouldn't even mix it with the mayo or anything.
Like a stray cat.
Just like, yeah, like a friggin' hobo. Yeah, I would just eat tuna, like just straight out of the can. And now the thought of eating tuna or a tuna fish sandwich doesn't repulse me, but that's real low on my list of things I'd want
to
eat.
Not going out of your way for it.
No.
What about a tuna steak?
I mean, like, I'll eat tuna, you know, sushi, you know, I'll eat some of that, but I don't think I've had a tuna steak in a long time either.
Okay.
But, yeah, just something. I just think I had too much tuna, and you know, that can of tuna fish is some of the lowest.
No, it's, you want to be mixing that. Anyway. You want to be mixing that with a little mayo, a little relish. Mm-hmm. That, my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah.
IMO. Stick IMA Joe. Mix that with a little mayonnaise and pickle relish.
Sticking with the food questions, Anthony DiOrio asked, Dave, what's your favorite Italian meal? Oh, that's a good question. I love Italian food. Not my favorite, but I like it a lot. It's not my number one go-to cuisine. But I like a good stuffed shells. I like a stuffed shells dish.
Stuffed shells and, out of left field.
Yeah,
I love
stuffed shells. And I love, this is probably fairly pedestrian, but if done right, I love a very well-prepared chicken parmesan. I like a good chicken parm.
Oh, you betcha. You mm-hmm. betcha chicken parm.
Stuffed shells, chicken parm. What about you? What's your go-to at an Italian place? And like a red sauce Italian.
Oh, boy, like red sauce Italian. Man, a good lasagna.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same thing with Mexican food. Like, you're getting all the same ingredients in each thing. What are a tortellini? I like a tortellini because then you got the little surprise. Ooh. It's like a little Italian fortune cookies.
Yeah.
You know, filled with cheese or meats. I miss in the meat eating days, the big family restaurant style spaghetti and meatballs where you get one giant meatball.
Oh, I love a big
just
ass
a
meatball.
A big, stupid meatball.
Oh.
Like a real asshole just sitting there right in the plate. Like, what do you look at this guy?
Yeah.
Like, you're clear losing money on this. Serving.
Yeah, like a half pound meatball.
I want a meatball the size that says the restaurant's operating at a loss. I love seeing that.
Oh, man.
Oh, just like Palermo's over in Los Feliz, where you go. Mm-hmm. It's made famous for Matt Bronger's bit. Well, the guy's like, it's a spaghetti time. Yeah, it's a real fun guy in there. And you sit down, you get a red wine, you get soup. Who's it? Lizzie Cooperman. I was on like a streaming show with her last week, and she's just making fun about going on a date with an older guy, like, guy who puts cheese in his soup? What the fuck is that? And as much as it was funny, I'm like, yeah, it's what you do is you put cheese. If there's Parmesan cheese on the table, that's going on everything. If Parmesan cheese is available, I'll put it in my fucking Dr. Pepper. If it's just on the table for the taking.
Yeah, why not? You know what else I love at a good classic Italian restaurant? I love just a good Italian salad. That Italian dressing with the, I know iceberg, people shit on iceberg now.
I love
but
a wedge.
Iceberg lettuce.
I love a wedge.
And the Italian salad and
black olives.
And,
in
it, black olives and the Parmesan and the pepperoncinis.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
Love that stuff.
Yeah, dog. I was thinking how much
it's making me hungry.
I was eating potato salad last night. I had some potato salad, and I moved to ice cream after I told you I was eating potato salad. I was real fucked up. But then I thought, like, you know, I like macaroni salad. I like a creamy macaroni salad. If we're getting into white trash favorites.
Oh, boy. At any of the Hawaiian barbecue joints, get some of that Hawaiian barbecue, and they give you that macaroni salad.
Stuff is always a little bit like, I think it's because I want, like, make it with more Miracle Whip, less mayonnaise, give me that tang, give me that zip.
You like that tang.
This is turning in. Now we're just doing All Fantasy Everything picnic sides. Shout out to All Fantasy Everything.
Yeah. I was reading about those guys today. Ian, there's something, I don't know, something going on. Somebody's trying to hijack their shit.
People trying to cop their format. And even he says, mm-hmm. like, I know it's not a wildly original idea, but we built this up. We got 100 plus episodes, and now I guess some place that offered to like buy their show and have them come along.
Yeah.
And they said no, uh-huh. And then the place just made their own show. That's the same thing.
Oh, that's pretty shitty.
Yeah. And it won't be as good because guess what? You don't have those guys doing it. The reason that show is as good mm-hmm. as it is because of the comedic minds you have offering on that
yeah,
show.
That's pretty obvious. That's you would think that would be pretty obvious. You can't just get anybody to do what they do.
No.
Just like us. Not just any two assholes
yeah, you
can sit here and talk about food.
You can't get a couple of jerks to phone it in over well-worn topics.
Oh, boy. All right, moving along. Robert Smith asks, Kyle, you have made some references to Kiss in your stand-up and the podcast, such as when you dressed up as Ace Frehley and made out with some chick in high school.
Yeah.
Assuming you are a Kiss fan, do you think I Was Made for Loving You is a good Kiss song, or is it a sack of disco trash? That's the one where they go disco, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't.
You like that one?
I like Kiss the same way. You know, like, oh, do you like the Friday 13th movies? You're like, yeah, they're fun. That's how I like Kiss. But if somebody's like, you like the Friday 13th movie? I especially like this scene where the director's cut has 30 seconds longer to build the tone. I'm like, get the fuck out of here. No, that's not good. Kiss isn't good.
No, I never gave a shit about
Kiss. No, Kiss is just like nacho cheese Doritos. You're like, yeah, everybody's going to have some of these. Is it your favorite food? Fuck no, but I'm glad it's here.
I think I missed them by a few years. If I was 12 years old in 1978, I'd probably be a Kiss fan.
Yeah, it's...
But they were kind of out of their relevancy by the time I was really getting
into
the rock
music. This is going to upset people. They're like the professional wrestling of music. Like you're enjoying it for tongue in cheek, but nobody's like, mm-hmm. oh man, this music is. They got a couple songs that are fun, but it's mostly pretty silly.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying you can't enjoy it.
Yeah.
I don't understand the people that bought into Gene Simmons' merchandising routine. Like, yeah, I better have all this. I better buy everything with a Kiss logo on it, like the way Harley people do. It's like, you're being played. Anyway, that's my response to that.
Right on.
Yes.
Noah Nelson asks, best impressions you can do. Do you do any impressions?
Nope.
I don't either. I don't think I do any impressions. I do a lot of voices and character stuff in my act, but not impressions of anyone else per se.
No, I don't have somebody. Yeah. Who is
Oh well.
I mean, I have friends that are fun to do, but that's not fun for anybody else. It's just you're just making fun of your friends. That's all that is.
You, ironically, you are impersonated a
lot.
Yeah,
I'm sorry for what I've done to comedy.
James Adomian does a great comedy.
Well, James Adomian does a great whoever he wants to do.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Speaking of impressions.
Yeah, go listen to James Adomian. You want impressions, you listen to the king, you listen to James Adomian. That's what I tell you. That's what I tell these kids.
So funny. Crawd Gilbert.
Prod?
Crawd. C-R-A-W-D, Crawd. That is a great handle. This is my Uncle Crawd.
Crawd?
Crawd. C-R-A-W-D, Crawd Gilbert.
Crawd Father.
Kyle and Dave, what are your thoughts about the movie The Man Who Killed Hitler and Bigfoot? Have not seen it yet. It's on my list. I'm a big Sam Elliott fan. I'm a big Bigfoot fan.
Oh, yeah.
Why not? Have you seen that yet?
Is the movie going to do more than what the title just told me?
I don't know.
You know, like what's like, you know what? I never gave enough credit or got into like camp mm-hmm. or like, Bruce Campbell movies.
Yeah.
Did you ever do that?
Yeah. I liked his stuff. Yeah. I got really into, not Evil Dead. What's the other one? Army of Darkness. I like that one.
I know I'll like it when I watch it, but I never, it seemed like a Rocky Horror Picture Show thing. Like the rite of passage was you watched it with friends and you saw like everybody else laughed at how silly the stuff was. And I didn't have that. So mm-hmm. I don't know. late to the game on that stuff. Sorry.
I used to hang with a crew of friends years ago who were really big into that stuff, and they tried to get me to watch those Trauma. Am I pronouncing that right?
Yeah, Toxic Avenger and stuff.
Yeah, that stuff. And it was just like, it was fun for 15 minutes, and then I'd get bored.
It's, yeah, like, what is it? Like, there's like that scene or like the Cramps, the band The Cramps. Like, you can't just like it. You have to be part of the gang.
I do love the Cramps, but no, I'm not full. I'm not in the club.
But the Cramps is always I'll rock out to some Cramps. When do you listen to that? Like, what mood are you in? Where it's like, I'm a spooky, spooky ghost in a creepy graveyard. Yeah. I got a 57 Chevy that's full of old skeletons. Booty, 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 boo, boo. It's like just kind of Halloween adjacent all the time.
Yeah.
Like you just wake up and be like, true. I guess, nope, I got to put on these skin-tight leopard pants. I don't have a pair of soccer shorts to throw on to make breakfast.
Yeah.
I got to use my bat shapes, the spatula shaped like a bat, because everything's got to be spooky, spooky fun times.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it. Like, I love the Misfits, but I listen to them more in October than I do any other time of year.
Dude, when we went to see the Misfits, there's some people that are just like, yep, this is all the clothes I have. Like, there's no other choice.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, like, it goes for, like, old punk rock dudes, too. Like, really, like, your whole, like, I don't give a shit about society was you putting on 30 different lockets. And cutting the sleeves off of another perfectly good denim jacket. All right.
No, that's funny. Speaking of music, where did it go? I had it right here. God damn it. Somebody asked if you could sing more Cypress Hill songs.
Who?
Oh, okay, here we go. Jen Thomas.
Who was singing?
Kyle, could you please rap more Cypress Hill songs?
When was I singing Cypress Hill songs?
I don't know. I don't remember that. I feel like I would
sawed
remember
off
that.
Shotgun, hand on the pump. Man, who could just kill a man? Hell yeah, I'll sing some Cypress Hill. Shit's dope.
I like Cypress Hill. I was listening to them the other day. That's something I'll throw on every now and then.
It's always like... You got that one, like, dude coming in with, like, the real serious, like, that weird, that kind of rap voice that was, like, a very Chuck D, like a... And then...
That's Sin Dog.
Yeah, and then Be yeah. Real coming in with that... I'm a funny, creepy guy.
And you got DJ Muggs dropping the fat beats. Yeah. Yeah, they were fun. I like some Cypress Hill.
Yeah, going back to the secret things that I wish I didn't like... I like that that party rock song by LMFAO.
I don't know that
one. They got a real stupid video, and they're just two goofy-looking dudes with a DJ. Party rocking in the house tonight. It's just dumb. And I'm like, I don't care. I like it for the exact reason it's supposed to be like, because it's called party rock.
Mm-hmm.
I like those two things. Sure.
Yeah, you like the party rock.
That's
can't stop the rock.
Well, who did Cypress Hill rap with on the Judgment Night soundtrack?
No idea.
You were not a Judgment Night soundtrack guy?
No, I don't remember that one. I remember the Crow soundtrack. That was big in my life.
Judgment Night, that was your demo. I may have just blown your mind right now.
Really?
The movie Judgment.
Let me pull that up.
Are you familiar with the movie Judgment Night?
Vaguely. Vaguely.
I mean, nobody gave a shit about the movie. But the soundtrack, it took all of the major hip-hop artists of the day and all of the major heavy alternative rock bands of the day and combined them.
All right. Well, hang on. I'm pulling it up now. Let me see what we got here.
This is your only wheelhouse. It was like House of Pain and Helmet.
Oh, I know that song. Yeah. Yeah, I know that one that you're talking
about. That whole soundtrack. And then I think, isn't like PM Dawn and Anthrax or something?
Oh, yeah, Just Another Victim. That's the helmet in House of Pain. Okay, yeah, here we go. Living Color is on there. Biohazard, Faith No More, Sonic Youth, Dinosaur Jr. But no, it's got a Cypress Hill song, but it doesn't say they're with someone else. Just Cypress Hill.
All combined. This is what you're going to be doing your kettlebell in the driveway too. This is the judgment.
Okay.
You want to scare your neighbors even more. Just middle of the day, you swinging a kettlebell, just gorilla testing that kettlebell. Listening to the Judgment Night soundtrack. You'll only be the seventh person in Long Beach doing that tonight if you start right now.
Yeah.
There's some guy two blocks over that's just already halfway through that CD.
Oh man. Okay. I gotta try that out.
Deadlifts in his garage.
I like Helmet and I like House of Pain. House of Pain, speaking of guilty pleasure, that was a guilty pleasure back in the day because it was like you knew that white rappers, I mean Eminem kind of changed that a little bit, but I knew that House of Pain wasn't quote unquote good. But it was catchy, man. And then when they teamed up with Helmet, I love Helmet.
And, they had the one song.
Yeah.
You know, were you the one telling me, or did I tell you, or did we even talk about it, that the guy from House of Pain quit House of Pain and then bought the house they shot The Outsiders in?
And yes, you told me that.
And he's just a museum guide for The Outsiders' house in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Hmm.
Hey.
That's odd.
Investments can be interpreted differently for different people.
Yeah.
You know how Tulsa's a major destination already. Let's get in. Let's get our own slice of those Tulsa tourism dollars.
Might as well. Josh McAfee asks, if you could only buy 5 ingredients to last you 2 months of quarantine, what would you buy? That's a great question, Josh.
Ooh.
Now, we're talking like real survival shit here. Like, these are the only 5 ingredients I have for 2 months. All right, off the top of my head, I'm going with I need some onions. I need some rice. I need some black beans. I need some ground beef. And I need some salt. I think I could survive on onions, beans, beef, salt, and rice.
Mm.
I love rice and beans.
I feel you on that. This is a good question. Because I got to think about sustainability, but you got to think about like, what are you going to want to keep eating, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think rice, because rice can go either way.
Uh-huh.
I want to say like eggs.
Yeah, eggs would probably, yeah. Yeah, eggs is important.
Because in my head, I'm looking at it, but I'm thinking about like beans. The sauces and stuff I have. Like, but eggs, you get sick of eggs right away. I mean, you can have them. You can prepare them different ways. That's where I'm looking at it. Like, what can you make different ways?
Versatility. Yeah.
Shit, man. I guess. And you can make noodles with just eggs and, what is it, eggs and flour? Eggs, flour, water?
Yeah, eggs and flour. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, flour. Flour. You can make biscuits. You can make pasta.
How many ingredients do you need for biscuits? Stuff.
Biscuits, basically, I mean, you could do without the baking soda and the baking powder and stuff, but basically you can make biscuits with butter, flour, and milk.
Rachel made a cake in a mug the other night.
Really?
She didn't want to bake a whole cake, so she just put a little bits of the ingredients in a mug and microwaved it.
Well, that's pretty smart. How'd it turn out?
I guess not great, but not bad for what she wanted in the moment, you know, a tiny piece of cake, a mug-shaped piece of cake.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. I don't know. Is hot dogs an ingredient? I could chop up hot dogs and put them in my eggs.
How did I know you were going to pick
eggs and dogs? Tortillas.
Yeah, I forgot about eggs. I would do rice and eggs. Got to have some onions. I mean, I guess you don't got to have onions, but I put onions in almost everything I make.
I'm with you on that.
Rice, eggs, some sort of beef. What did I say?
I'd say, yeah,
Oh, salt. You got to have salt.
Salt, yeah. Rice eggs. Let me just say a beef substitute because I like that, right? Because then you could have, I would say tortillas.
Uh-huh.
Rice, eggs, beef substitute, yeah. Tortillas, salt. Because you could have just rice. You could have all those things individually. You can combine them two different ways. Beef and rice. Beef and eggs for tacos on its own. Just egg tacos. Mm-hmm. Cracked egg over rice, Asian style. Okay, that's where I'm at, yeah. I took your lead heavily on this one, Dave, because you know what you're doing.
No, that's fine. That's fine. Like,
just the clovers from Lucky Charms and Diet Mountain Dew.
Greg Huber asked, do you fellas have any tips for keeping active around the home? I know you both had plans to shred.
Yeah.
Wonder if you're still getting out. Also, what's the most surreal changes you've noticed so far? The air is smelling different here. That's a good question.
The air is smelling. Is he the guy with the same question of would you rather not smell anybody else's farts ever again?
I don't think
his dream came true.
Let's answer the second one first. What's the most surreal change you've noticed? What have you noticed in the last month of this chaos?
I think the quiet of living in a city that's, I mean, not quite New York levels, but there's always like a highway buzz in the distance, or there's always planes. Mm-hmm. There's always somebody driving around, and it's just quiet. Like, we'll go, and this leads into the keeping active. Hey, grab a beer and take a walk. Mm-hmm. Or any drink, take a walk. I don't think cops are really going to bust you on an open container charge and all this. And put it in a beer koozie. Nobody's going to give a fuck. Put it in a beer koozie. Wear your mask. Stay away from people. But take walks around your neighborhood if it's something that maybe you haven't done before. I know that was a big suburban thing. Right? I don't know if you when you were growing up, was there like a major street that you just never walked across?
I was growing up.
Like a highway or something?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, there was a big Highway 140 in Waleska, Georgia. When I grew up as a teenager, you never saw anybody walking on that because it was a very rural area. Yeah. And you'd see people walking on the back roads and the side roads, but not like on the main stretch.
Or just like the suburbs, your boundaries were defined by larger four-way, four-lane streets. Like you didn't go past that stuff on your bike or walking.
Yeah.
You take a little walk. There's paths around. Anyway, I'd say it's a lot quieter out. The air is a lot cleaner out. Take a walk. That's an easy thing to do to move your body around for activity. Mm-hmm. I have a jump rope out here that I dug up, and I got some running shoes to have, which I haven't ran yet, but I got them.
That's nice.
I would say just even taking walks.
Yeah. Well, that's what I've been doing. I've been doing my nighttime walks. I go out late at night. 1 or 2 o'clock, just because A, I'm up at that hour, and B, I figure there's less people out, less danger of someone coughing on you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what we were doing. We took a little evening walk a couple nights ago. Mm-hmm. You see, you learn more about your neighborhood taking a walk. I'll tell you that. You'll see stuff that you haven't normally seen just by walking. Yeah.
I agree with you as far as the quiet. Sometimes I take Charlie out, our dog. I'll take him out for his last walk around 9:30 or 10 in the evening, and every night it's just so eerily quiet. Like, it just, again, not a super busy, noisy neighborhood that I live in, but noisy enough in the normal times, and for it to just be like stone cold silent at 9:30 at night is weird and almost creepy.
Yeah, it's getting to that point where oh cool. Has my heartbeat always sounded this panicked, or is it just that I can hear it? Yeah. I don't know. I got my drums. I got my thing. I got my bicycles to ride around the neighborhood. But take this opportunity to see your neighborhood on foot or on a bicycle if it's something you haven't done before. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a pretty
cool
thing to do.
And if you need indoor exercise, get you a kettlebell. Those are fun.
Kettlebell. I got those resistance bands that you hope don't snap and crack your dick.
Yeah. Oh, That's what, I don't know if you remember, about a year and a half ago, Katie was messing with a resistance band, and it popped her in the eye. And she had to wear an eye patch for like 2 weeks.
God damn.
Popped her right in the eye.
Those things are no joke, man. They make you focus. Mm.
No, it was weird. That was a weird time for us to go out together.
Yeah, there's a lot of situations where she just has a black eye all of a sudden, Dave. Mm-hmm. I punched her in my sleep. Oh, boy. Just don't start that story.
No,
you can't explain that. I throw hands when I'm sleeping.
I did. I cocked her pretty good one time. Just bam, right in the eye. Frank Castle asks, Kyle, what video games are you looking forward to?
Frank Castle.
Especially considering the quarantine and how much free time we all have. You rocking any video games right now?
I was playing them last week. This week I kind of dipped off. What was I playing? My buddies and I will play Wreckfest. It's just a demolition derby game. That's fun.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's just a silly good time. Nobody has to be like great at it. It's just demolition derby. You just drive your cars into each other. Perfect.
I've never given a shit about video games, but now I want to get into them, obviously because of all the downtime. I want to get into the baseball games. There's a couple apparently really good.
Oh, people like that stuff, yeah.
Yeah, the show, MLB The Show.
My buddy's been playing that one.
But yeah, that's something like that I could see getting into right now for me.
You going to pick up a system, Dave?
I don't know. I can't. It's hard for me to justify. Well, how much are they now? They're like $200 or $300, $400. What's a PS?
I don't know because the 5 is supposed to come out, so the 4s are going to be cheaper. But that's the one I have.
Okay.
But then if you,
I mean, I'll drop $100 on something, but I can't see myself spending more than that.
Nah, maybe you find a used one somewhere. I don't know. But it's a good time. It's a good. You got to kill some time nowadays.
Yeah, that's true.
Well. Let's get another one in there.
All right, what do we got here? Amanda asked, Dave, what do you think is the best fat ratio in ground beef? Not for a specific dish, but just if you were picking up some to have on hand because, you know, you'll eat it.
is that how they measure that stuff?
Close. 80-20, Amanda, is my answer. 80% beef, 20% fat. And that's about as fat as you can
like
find.
Like my beef, I don't think I've ever 80-20.
I don't think I've seen any more fat than 80-20. I'm sure a butcher can give you 75-25 or something like that. But you'll see 80-20 a lot in the grocery store. You'll see 85-15. You'll see 90-10, which, ugh, you know, if you want some dry 50-50, ass beef,
50-50, that's what 90-10. I want.
That does sound good, 50-50.
I want to feel like a piece of gum is in there.
Oh, God. Yeah, 80-20, Amanda. That's a good all-purpose ground beef.
What's the biggest piece of fat you would just eat off an animal by itself?
I mean, when I cook a ribeye sometimes, there'll be a big old slab of fat. I mean, I've eaten a normal bite-sized piece of nothing but fat before.
Weight-wise, what would you do?
Oh, weight-wise? Like,
would you eat like a McDonald's burger patty?
That was nothing but fat? Yeah. No, because too much fat does kind of gross
cooked,
you out.
But like
every now and then on a steak, if you get too much fat. Nah, anything more than a normal bite-sized piece is going to kind of turn your stomach a little bit.
That's like I explained it before. It's like, you know, when you're eating fat, you're like, this is good, but then you get grossed out. Where it's like stepping on fresh dog poop with barefoot. You're like, mm-hmm. I know what that is, but for 2 seconds, I'm going to be like, that's an interesting feeling. And then you're like, no.
Yeah. Fat. Alex Wynn asks, Dave, the lady and I just pulled the trigger on a 9mm, no pun intended there, and in that we decided to purchase one. Any tips, advice, common fuck-ups to avoid for a couple of novice gun owners? And yes, this was absolutely an apocalyptic-inspired paranoia purchase.
Mm-hmm.
9mm is good. I'd prefer the 40 cal. Get you a Glock 40 cal, but 9mm solid. I mean, if you got it, speaking of Glock, if you got a Glock, remember, I'm pretty sure all Glocks, no Glock has a safety on it, if I remember correctly. So if you got a Glock, just remember that you don't have a safety there. I mean, other than the obvious, you know, don't point it at anything that you don't plan on shooting. Don't play around with it. Don't clean it while it's loaded.
Only twirl it while it's loaded, because otherwise the weight is incorrect. You need the weight in the handle of having it loaded.
Yeah. There's a lot of debate on whether to leave the clip in or not. I like to have the clip in. I don't like the idea. You know, if you got kids in the house, that's a totally different ball game, and you do whatever
you want to get them their own guns so they're not fighting over one.
But ideally, I like to have the clip in, but no round chambered. That way, you know that you've got your clip, you got your ammo right there, and all you got to do is just chamber around, and boom, you're ready to rock. But that's how I like it. But you know, if you got kids, you know, maybe consider keeping no rounds in the chamber and keeping the clip somewhere and the gun somewhere else. But just make sure you can get them. You know, that's the thing. When you need a gun, you know, when the shit hits the fan and you need a gun in the next 5 seconds, you need to be able to get a hold of that clip and that ammo ASAP. So, but yeah, just treat it with respect. You know, don't point it at anything you don't want to shoot. You know, don't mess around with it. Make sure every time you touch the gun, assume it's loaded and ready to rock. I don't know if I told this story. My dad, who is a pretty well-versed gun dude, I remember when I was like 15, we're sitting around the living room and he's cleaning his 38 revolver and boom, went off, shot a hole, almost shot his foot. It missed his foot by like 6 inches, shot a hole in the ground because he was cleaning it and he forgot that it was freaking loaded.
Really?
So even experienced gun people can screw up. So
a revolver is pretty easy to check too.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I think he checked 5 out of the 6.
Sounds like it. yeah. That's a good percentage.
Yeah.
5 out of 6 ain't bad. But, that's like my favorite Meatloaf song.
But yeah, just common sense, man. Just don't point at anything you're not ready to shoot.
I was absolutely the guy who looked for guns when this was going down. Like, there's a line.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to wait in line. Yeah.
Have you signed up for any waiting list or anything?
No.
I got me and a couple of dudes have gone in and we're trying to negotiate some terms here.
So, oh, like you're on waiting list?
Yeah, yeah. I'm not gonna name.
No, you don't have to name names. Where'd you go? Down Long Beach or up here?
One of my buddies went in Burbank. So I've got some. I'd like to have more.
Let me know, man. I'll go with. You got to go two people to go to gun range.
Yeah.
So you went during all this? You went to Burbank?
He did, yeah.
How long was the wait?
I didn't go. He went. He said he had to wait about 40 minutes, and now he's on a list.
But then as I was reading, then everybody's sold out anyway. So just because you get approved doesn't mean they're going to have anything in stock for you to get.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, we'll talk. We'll talk off air.
All right. Let's wrap this up. Let's do one more. Right. We may even get another episode out of all this. I don't know. We got a bunch of questions here. Let me see here. Let me find one here.
Something sexy. Pete asked, Dave.
This isn't very sexy, but Pete asked, where has Dave cooked professionally?
Sexy.
That's a good question. He's wanted to check up on my credentials.
Have you tasted his food? Everywhere has been professional.
I've, off the top of my head, my first real job ever when I was 16, I worked at the Old Country Buffet in Canton,
OCB?
Georgia. That was my first restaurant gig, cooking up fried chicken and peeling carrots and stuff. I did that the summer of my 16th birthday. Mm,
cheesy hash browns, just like my ancestors would have made.
I worked at a mom-and-pop pizza place in Canton, Georgia that's no longer there. Let's see. I worked at Williamson Brothers Barbecue in Canton, Georgia. I worked there. cooking barbecue. I worked at the Albert in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Cooking there. I've worked at Outback Steakhouse. I've worked at Longhorn Steakhouse. I've worked at Applebee's. Most recently, I worked at Spitz in Los Feliz, making those overpriced shawarma wraps.
Oh, you were cooking over there. I know you're cooking over there.
Yeah, I was a cook. That's where I met Katie. Katie was a bartender, and I was a cook. And
when you were at OCB, what was the work life? What was the kitchen like life at OCB?
Just everything came out of a can. All the meat was frozen. All the veggies came out of a can.
A lot of heat to serve.
Yeah, yeah. Just heating up a bunch of big vat of green beans and taking them out to the buffet. Mm. Just shit like that. But yeah, probably the most experience I got as a cook was at the Albert in Atlanta. That was a good place to work as far as a cook because the menu was pretty diverse and everything was homemade and from scratch. There was no just heating stuff up. It was all, you know, morning before we'd open, it was prep shift, you know, prepping everything. And then once we'd open, I was working the line, working the grill. So, but yeah, I've probably had 5, 6, 7 restaurant jobs. Yeah, I'll tell you this, Applebee's, everything out of a can, obviously. But I will say Outback, pretty much everything, at least when I worked there 10 years ago, everything from scratch at Outback. Even the salad dressings were homemade.
I heard that about Applebee's, that everything was just like microwaved or what have you. Because some of those places, I mean, it might be a chain, but it doesn't mean it's the worst.
Yeah, I mean, well, Outback, you know. I was very impressed with, you know, the attention to detail at Outback.
I had a great meal at Outback when I was there.
Yeah, solid stuff. Good stuff. So, yeah, there we go.
I'll be honest. I mean, I like a Denny's.
You like a Denny's?
if it's on the road, like, you know what I like Denny's for is, like, it's just drunk burgers any hour of the day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, restaurants are, like, big enough, piled with a bunch of bullshit. I'm not saying it's great.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure there's gourmet places you can go get a fantastic burger, but just a drunk burger, 3 a.m. drunk burger?
Yeah.
Shit, yeah, man.
Yeah, I got no problem with that. Well, you want to land this puppy?
Let's do it. We'll come up. We'll get on some programming. But yeah, what we're saying, we both felt like maybe some of these subjects are a little too much. Let's cultivate a little community here. We're all talking to everybody. Mm-hmm. Maybe we got questions for the audience next time. You submit some answers instead of just prying into our lives. Why don't you fess up some secrets?
That's a good idea, man.
Yeah, threaten the audience. It's a good one. It's what we need now.
How's public domain coming, Kyle? Where you at now? Chapter 6?
I think we got 7's coming out soon. So I got to record. I probably think I'm doing 2 a week now.
How many chapters in Dracula?
That book is around here somewhere. I think I'm about a third. I'm looking at where the book is across the way here. But my dog ear is about a third of the way through.
Okay. Right on, man.
So we'll,
and that can be found pretty much everywhere. YouTube, Instagram,
yeah, people
TV,
can just
whatever.
Look, you know, it's out. Right on, people, man. They follow us on the stuff. They know where it is.
They get it.
But it's
no shows to plug.
No shows,
right now.
But you got. I'm glad people are buying your cookbooks. You got food ideas. People are at home.
Yeah,
it's a great time to do that kind of stuff. We got. This is not a sponsor, but Rachel ordered those HelloFresh things where you just get the meal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, it's not going to be anything surprising to you, but for people, like, here's the exact amount of ingredients you need to make a thing. Instead of like, don't know what I want to make, so let me find a recipe, go to the store, get it's like, no, here, it's all here. It comes out to like $13 a meal.
Okay.
For the one we had like a tilapia with a ginger scallion sauce on it over ginger rice with green beans last night. And
that sounds
it
fun.
It was fucking tasty, dude. And it was all there. We just needed like cooking oil, salt, and pepper. That's all you needed.
There you go.
And $13 a person.
Well, cool. That's not bad.
I mean, that's a meal at a restaurant without a without a tip and everything.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
It got me making food, so that's a fun thing, you know.
That's good. Get you in the kitchen.
I'm learning.
Get you productive and tangible skills there. I like that. Speaking of which, yeah, huge thanks to anybody and everybody who's bought the Kitchen Survival Guides. I got 3 volumes. They're flying off the shelves. I can't thank you enough. You, quite frankly, you saved my ass. Because canceling that tour was a huge blow, but you guys have stepped up and bought a bunch of cookbooks. So big thanks to everybody who's done that. Offer still stands for those of you who need some recipes that you need to start cooking. You don't have the chops, and maybe you're in a pinch financially because of all this chaos. Holler at me; I'll gladly send them to you for free, no sweat off my back. So if you need a free cookbook, holler at me. If you want to purchase them, even better, I'll take your money. DumbDaveStone.com. You can get all 3 of those volumes. A total of 65 recipes right now. So, if you need some recipes, holler at me. You can pay for them. You can not pay for them. What the hell do I care? But big thanks to everybody who has purchased them thus far.
Yeah, so nice folk out there.
Also, patreon.com/boogiemonster. I mentioned this in the bonus episode. I was convinced that we were going to lose a shit ton of patrons this month, and understandably so, if that were to happen. In some weird twist of fate, we have gained patrons this month. So, holy shit. Big thanks.
Everybody's readjusting, baby.
Yep. Big thanks to the patrons. If you got $4 a month to spare, and you want some bonus content, you get the bonus Q&A, much like you heard today, and you get a video episode of either Dave's Kitchen or Dave's Record Room. This month, I actually changed it up. I did a Dave's Kitchen Q&A. Rather than just do one episode, or rather than just do one video with one recipe, I did a Q&A, all food, and we just discussed all things food, recipes,
techniques,
and stuff like that. I'm all over the place. Also, I'll plug my other stupid podcast with my lovely fiance, Katie. We now have the Stonebergs podcast dropping every Monday. Just a call-in advice show. Two idiots that can barely run our own lives are giving you life advice. So feel free to check out the Stonebergs wherever you get your podcast as well. Kyle, good to hear from you, buddy. Fun as always.
You bet, sweetie.
I feel like, I miss seeing your stupid face across the table, but I'm sure we'll get back together.
Maybe we'll video conference.
Hopefully, we need to work something out like
video
that.
Faces.
Could be. That could work nice. But you guys stay safe, stay healthy, stay sane.
Yeah.
Keep your chin up.
I was going to say, if you like musicians or comedians, buy their merch. That's what helps right now.
Absolutely.
Buy merch from folks.
But, you guys hang in there, keep trudging forward, and we'll see you next week.
The Boogie Monster.
Scare Bands Audio, a podcast network.